Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
We have been in a series called Increase. If you have your Bibles, go with me to John chapter 17. I'm going to continue. I think this might be my last Sunday on this subject. As many of you guys know, and those who are watching online, we've been in such a crazy season of life. The whole world has. And specifically here at KLC, we have felt it right on the forefronts, some of the mandates, the ups and downs, weeks on live stream, weeks in person, and of course, the spikes in cases in the state, all of the things that are connected to what's been going on in society. And in the midst of all of it, one of the things that we've all had to deal with is the panic and the anxiety and the fear, the worry, at our workplaces and all the places combined, and in the midst of it, trying to figure out, Lord, what are you saying? And I kept hearing the Lord say, Isaiah 54, sing, O barren woman, for great will be the children of the woman who's never given birth. And it says, stretch out your tent pegs, get ready, because I'm going to cause you to increase. And, I feel like, speaking of increase, just real quick, we have a first-time visitor here. Crosby Sylvester is in the house. Derek and Joanna have been expanding their curtains and their tent pegs and getting a house ready for them to move into. And but in a more practical and spiritual sense, it's. It's been a very countercultural message to declare and to expect increase in a time when the primary message of our whole life and the whole world around us is significantly is lack, hoard, wait, be comfortable, we're in this together. How many of you guys are sick of hearing we're in this together? My golly, we are not in this together. I am not in this with you. There's just so much of that message going on, and it's all like, hey, be comfortable with what's going on around you. There's so much conditioning emotionally and spiritually, whether it's intentional or not. And because of that, I really felt like the Lord was saying to his church, this is not a time of lack and decrease. This is a time that I'm going to cause you to increase. And, when you look at scripture, what an incredible theme. I think as Americans, we all have personally had times where God had to teach us his culture and his truth and revelation about the subject matter in our personal lives. But on a widespread global level, we've never had to understand it. We've lived in such a convenient world, a convenient lifestyle. We've never had to understand widespread in the church, especially in America, what it means for God to cause his church to increase in a time that it doesn't make sense. And, but you look right there in Genesis 26, the theme's all there. Isaiah 54, speaking to the barren woman, get ready to have children, make place for it, begin to expect it. But then you look at Genesis 26, where God speaks to Isaac, and he calls him to the land that his father Abraham had. And they're in the middle of a famine, and everyone's holding on to their seed because there's no water. And so they can't sow their seed, and it's bearing no harvest. And so everyone's rushing to Egypt to go to the storehouses. And God speaks to Isaac and said, Isaac, I want you to sow into the land that I've called you. In a time of famine, I want you to sow your seed. It made no sense. It wasn't practical wisdom. And he called him to sow his seed. And sure enough, Isaac sowed his seed, and he reaped in the same year 100-fold. And God caused him to increase to a level the Philistines were actually in envy of what God was doing in Isaac's life. And this is a theme all throughout scriptures. It's a core central theme of the gospel, that God would cause us to increase in times of lack and difficulty. And I wanna end this whole series with this message. And I wanna talk about positioning your life and your family for what I would call exponential increase. Not just more, but a supernatural more. I'm not just talking about addition. I'm not talking about doubling. I'm talking about exponential increase. There's a law in science that scientists have agreed it's a law, but they can't explain it. It's called the law of synergy. Has anybody understood the concept of synergy? The idea of synergy is simple. If you were to take two horses, one scientist explained it this way. If you were to take two horses and they both are able to plow a field with a certain amount of energy, right? You take one horse, he plows the field with X amount of energy. And then you take another horse and that horse can plow with X amount of energy. If you were to yoke those two horses, you would expect it would be X plus X now equals the yoked energy that is being used to plow a field. But he goes, that's actually not true. The law of synergy tells us that if you take those two horses with X and X power and you put them together and you bring them in agreement and yoke them together, it's almost as if a third horse attaches itself to their efforts and it exponentially increases the efforts of the horses. It does not make any sense. Where did this additional power came from? It comes from agreement. And I want to dig into this because, you know, we know the scripture says one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. Well, that mathematically doesn't make a lot of sense. And where is this exponential increase coming from? And I want to dig into it. And I want to just not talk about the numerical value of increase, but I want to talk about even the spiritual value of increase, where my previous efforts go further than they did. There's something about that my prayers are landing a little different. My ability to retain hope in the midst of anxiety has now increased. My joy is not just there, it is overtaking my life and rooting me in strength and foundation. Anybody? Like, I'm not just talking about the numerical value of, like, talking about our church. We just got buildings and we got lands and things are growing. I'm talking about now, as individuals, our lives and our efforts are expanding and increasing and being multiplied on our life. And I begin to think about the scriptures that say one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. I think about the law of synergy. And then I think about where two or more agree in anything, it will be done for them. Where two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. God's equation for exponential increase is community. God's equation for exponential increase is community. You think about when Adam was created. He says, let us make man in our image. And he created Adam. And then he says, and now I want you to oversee all of the creation that I've created. I want you to colonize the earth. And I want you to name all of the things that I've created, all the creatures. And I want you to go into all the earth and make it look like the Garden of Eden. And then it says, and it's not good for man to be alone. And God knew that in proportion to the calling on man's life, that there was a requirement and a need to increase and expand his capacity by giving him a helpmate. Why? Because God's equation for increase is community. Go with me to John chapter 17. Are you guys there? Are we okay? All right. John chapter 17. Jesus has getting ready to pour his life out on the cross for you and I. Jesus is ready to pour his life out, and he knows that his day is coming. His earthly ministry is going to end, and we see him in John chapter 17 in the garden, lifting his voice before the Father, praying for his apostles, praying for the disciples, and then praying for you and I. And in John 17, 21, he prays for you and I, and this is what he says, I do not pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word. That they would be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they would be one in us so that the world would believe that you have sent me. And I have given them the glory which you've given me, that they would be one even as you, we are one. I in them and you in me. That they would be made perfect in one, that the world would know that you have sent me and love them as you have loved me. Jesus is praying for you and I. He's praying that the whole world would believe that he was the only begotten Son. He's praying that the glory of the Father would be revealed to the ends of the earth, to every nation, tribe, and tongue. And he prays, God, would you make those who believe in me one so that the world would believe that you sent me? Jesus' prayer is not only a prayer, it's the wisdom of the Father that our extent to expand the kingdom of God on the earth will be measured by the depth of our community together. Our ability to reveal Jesus to the earth will be dependent on our ability to create unity, harmony, and community within the church, the ecclesia. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. Ephesians chapter 4. Oh man, I don't hear pages turning. Okay. He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists. We know this verse, the fivefold ministry, right? The five golden scarlet chairs on the stage. The five apostles that rule the church. How many of us know that that is not what's being presented here? We're talking about the foundation of the ecclesia, the internal structure of a church that's meant for the purpose of training and equipping the saints. But what does it say in Ephesians 4, the role of the fivefold ministry? It says, and truly he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the works of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. He actually prays and he goes, God, he says, the fivefold structure of the ecclesia, the fivefold structure of the church is for the unity of the body of Christ. We've always seen the fivefold as a separation from the body of Christ to rule over and to govern, but the reality is it was not meant to be divided from, it was meant to be immersed within. It's meant to be a structure that was immersed within and create a culture that created relationship and harmony, not with the fivefold leaders, but within the fivefold concept of the church. And he says this, and he says, until we come to unity of the faith and knowledge of the God, to a full grown man, to the full measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. And he goes, and when this thing is going on and people are growing in the Lord and there's a unity of the faith and there's a discipleship culture where people are growing in the Lord, he goes, man, the church is going to come to a point where they're literally operating in the full stature of Jesus Christ himself. It is said that a community of people that are growing in the unity of faith within the ecclesia, within the church, within the structure of the and the concept of the church family, that it would lead to individuals that literally carry the fragrance and the nature of the full stature of Jesus Christ himself in the earth. I mean, come on, create some vision here of what happens when a church actually builds a community. I don't mean a church, I mean a community where they're building family and doing life. We have the most significant plague going on right now in the American church that's being realized through the coronavirus and the pandemic is that we got a lot of churches that were a mile wide and an inch deep. Something came in and shattered the mold, and the fivefold was absent. The unity of the faith is gone. The political tension has overtaken the church. Relationship, family, and values are nowhere to be found. And the church goes, all right, guys, we're out of quarantine. Let's get back together. And nobody shows up. Why? Because it was a mile wide but an inch deep. And they get so comfortable with the structure of showing up to church and sowing your tithes and offerings, but they realize that there was actually no heart connection or family culture created. It was a comfort and convenience of what they had created in an Americanized culture. You hear what I'm saying? But Jesus is saying that no, the apostles and the prophets, that's not a Bible study in a life group. That's not a man with a title or a woman with a title. It's not a structure of leadership that shows up on the website when you hit the About Me page. That fivefold ministry is an immersed culture that leads to a community that's creating family and doing life outside of the Sunday morning service. We've brought so much attention to a Sunday morning service that we forgot the community itself. And I'm not talking about the community of our neighbors. I mean, that's the evangelistic aspect of like loving our community that we are parts of. But I'm talking about the family community life of the church. By our unity together, we have the ability to become the full expression of Jesus Christ on the earth. See, how did God create this ecclesiastical strategy for the increase and expansion of his kingdom? When God created humanity, he created man with a direct reflection of himself. Let us make man in our image. Man was created in the image of God, his likeness as the representation of himself. Man carried the emotion of God, the desires of God, the longings of God, the affections of God. God, man's longings and affections were reflections of God's longings himself. God created man with his own heart, a desire for a bride, a desire for a home, a desire for a family. And within man was that fulfillment of that entire desire. That we are God's bride, we are his dwelling, we are his family. And what we have to understand is that the very idea of family, there's a reason why that as a father, I can look at my relationship with my children, and what I learn as a father is a microcosm of the relationship between my heavenly father and myself. The sacrifice, we'll never understand the sacrifice of a father, and maybe until you become a parent, you just don't understand. But then you realize what the father gave for you and how it defines love. Like there's something about marriage, that there's a revelation that's available in the creation of a home and a family and a marriage that becomes a seedbed of revelation that you may never have been able to look into that revelation until you have this experience that's a microcosm of God's experience. Because there's something about these moments that the affections and the longings of our heart are finally met. There's just something about that that actually allows us to look into a mystery of God's heart. Right? And there's even a reason why. You know, like there's a reason why even Paul said, I want to know God as a husband knows his wife. Like even that longing of his heart, he goes, even sexually, the way like the depth of intimacy is created between a husband and his wife, I want to know God that way. Like that depth of intimacy, there's something about the reflections of the longings and the affections of man and the creation of family that's a direct reflection of heaven. And so because of that, God had a longing for a bride, a longing for a home, a longing for a family. It says, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. A king didn't send a servant. A judge didn't send a spy. A father sent a son. And that salvation would actually break the bondages of orphan mentality and that we'd be adopted as sons and daughters into the family of faith. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Why? Because he's talking about family, because the kingdom is manifest in the context of family. The old covenant was a sterilized governmental political structure that divided God and man, but the new covenant made a family. And the Father revealed himself. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've always known him as a judge who had a law, but I want to reveal to him as Father, because for God so loved the world that he sent me to remove the law, to remove the judgment, to remove the separation, to reveal himself as a loving Father, who he was at the foundations of the earth. So if we want to see the kingdom of God expand over the earth, we've got to understand the church is not an organization, it's a family. And if we want to actually see him, if we want to step into the increase, we have to understand the way that we step into increase is not just prayer. It's not just Bible study. It's not just programs. Here's your four-step plan to growing in joy. That's actually not biblical. It's actually community is God's strategy and equation for increase. To actually become a part of a family and begin to do real life with them. That God actually wants to plug you into a family and not one that says family, but is actually just trying to like increase church attendance. But like a family that actually is committed to it. Like committed to each other. You know, I had the privilege of going to the Madison Fairfield Joint Life Group this week. They did some Christmas stuff, and I actually have always like intentionally avoided going to life groups. And the reason why I've always intentionally done that is because I want to create an environment and a culture in our church that doesn't require my presence. And I've wanted to empower our leaders to create community. And I've wanted to like create places that doesn't bottleneck to expectation. And if I show up to a life group, I want to just sit and be a part of it. I don't want to be a leader in the midst of it. Does that make sense? And so I've always avoided it so they can create their own environments that I would be able to go into. And so it was so amazing to go to the Fairfield Madison Life Group and my kids are covered in sugar and they're wrestling with John and Katie and people are like stopping in the midst of worship to go like, hey, so-and-so's wife is at home in pain. Can we just pray for them right now? And there's just like the needs of the community. They were all aware of each other's needs and it was all on their minds and they're praying for each other and they're checking in on each other's lives and they're doing real life. And I'm just sitting back watching going, you know what? Man, who cares about a pandemic? Who cares about mandates? This is a church that will never shut down as long as that's going on right there. This is a group of people that will never divide over anything going on because they care too deeply about like authentic, real stuff. It's not influencing the way they connect and engage. Like this church is the strongest church I've ever witnessed because of not because of our Sunday morning routines, but because of the real life that's happening every single day of the week. And this is God's vision and strategy for his church because a church that's a mile wide and inch deep can't stand a pandemic. It can't stand the pressures and the social tensions of seasons. But a church that is rooted in family is immovable and will increase to the ends of the earth. We all right? Here's the thing we have to understand is that family is created not by common history, but common future. History or family is created not by common interests, but by common vision. We have any Star Wars fans in the room? I hate Star Wars. Outside of these walls, people fight over that. Dustin would call me a meathead, I'd call him a nerd, and we'd have nothing to do with each other. But you know what? Inside these walls, inside this community, inside not just these walls, I say that as an example, but man, inside of this family, I could care less because of our common vision of what we're going after. And now we can just make fun of each other in love. How many of us know we need a little bit more of Christians okay of making fun of each other? In love. Go to Acts chapter 2. I want to end with this. I'm going to end with this. We're going to pray. We're going to shut off the live stream. Then we're going to talk about some of the recent events in the state of Maine. Acts chapter 2. Go there with me. My heart has been so stirred recently, you know, just in connection to this message of increase. There's such a confidence in our future because not only because we trust the Lord, but also because we have each other. And I'm not going anywhere. Are you, you know, and this is the strength of family, right? It's like we fight, but we're not going anywhere. And there's such a commitment to each other, such a commitment to the relational bonds that we've created. And Acts chapter 2, verse 40. He says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. And now all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods, and they divided them all as anyone had need. And continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You know, we're reading this verse saying, oh, wow, house churches. No, that's not what this was. Don't get weird and start going, Acts 2, let's start a house church thing. Like, it doesn't matter what building or what model you take. The church is the church, right? And so many house church things have been created out of reaction to their experience in a building church. And none of that matters. Acts chapter 2 is not about the model of church. Acts chapter 2 is about a group of people that were being hunted daily for their faith. A people that were being murdered in the streets. A nation that felt Christianity was at war with their agenda. And this group of people could not stop being together. And they found ways to like sow into each other's lives by breaking bread. And they sold everything they had and they poured into each other and they knew each other's needs and they created community around it. Not because it was a structure. They didn't have a planning center app telling you where to be, when to be there, join this house. Women's Bible studies on Tuesdays. Like, that's not what this was. This was an authentic group of people that just longed to have community centered around a commonality of faith and the life experiences that they were having, needing to encourage each other in the Lord. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Community is God's equation for increase. And God wants to create such a vision in our lives for community. God wants to create a vision in our lives for relationship. And many of us have had years and years and years of Christian church experiences, but all those have lined up to like hiding our hearts and not living vulnerably because we can't actually trust Christians because what are they going to do with the information? And we've been hurt and offended and there's offenses and wounds. And what if it makes its way back to the pastor? And then we'll like get talked to. And like all, that whole church stuff we've lived in and experienced is religion. God wants to create an authentic church family in this house that knows how to do community, sticks together, fights for each other, and actually invests in our daily activity together. And like in our lives and not waiting for the pastor to like orchestrate it and organize it and administrate it. That makes sense. And I'm telling you that this vision for increase that we've been talking about is directly associated to this message and this value system for community and relationship. We have to make space, we have to invest, we have to prioritize community in our life. The reality is that when the church is shaken and it can't stand, it's because the bonds of agreement had no depth together. We agree with each other until we found out that we disagreed. We treat it like a surprise, and then we're so ready to forfeit each other's relationships. God wants to create strength in his church again. Amen? Because there's a whole world longing to meet Jesus, and that is dependent on the unity of our faith.